Bible reading this morning for our lesson is Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. Matthew 7, beginning in verse 1. We're reading through verse 14. Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can we say in Can you say it to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good fruit gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. In these verses, we see that certainly Jesus gives several instructions concerning various things. And when we read these verses, sometimes it may not always be easy for me as an individual or for you an individual to actually fall in line and adhere to the things that he is teaching. It is our command, it should be our desire to do that, but it's not always easy for us to bring ourselves into obedience and do those things that the Lord requests. Some of the things he talks about here concerning a prayer, asking and receiving. Some of the things about judging others. Some of the things about the wide way and the narrow way that lead in two different directions. Sometimes it's not easy to really do what we hear in the Word, but oftentimes it's easy for us as human beings to be able to bind these statements on others and hold them accountable where we ourselves might not do that. So in these verses he talked about in verses 13 and 14, the two ways. The broad way, which he illustrates is most likely the easiest way because the majority will choose that way. But it's not a good way to follow. It's not the proper way to go, and it's not the right way to go for us. It's not the safe way to go because it leads to destruction. But then on the other hand, the straight and narrow way, which is difficult, is not easy, we're to follow it. But how many of us can really follow that due to the fact that we're human beings and we're tempted to go the broad way, the easy way? It's human nature to want to take the easy way out in almost anything. So in our life, we're going to have some difficulties. In our life, it's not always easy to make the right choices. So we need to be determined to make those correct choices. In our life, it's not always easy to do the things that God instructs. Not always easy, is it? But Donald made a statement in his invitation the other night that when he was at Auburn, and some of the people asked him how could he just keep saying no about not going with them to some places they were going that wasn't right? And Donald said, I'm not going to do it. I made my mind up. I'm not going to do it. And if we make our mind up, we're not going to do that which is wrong, then most likely we will not do it. And so the hard part is making up our mind. And once we've made up our mind and we take our stand, then we can discipline ourselves so we stay in line and don't do the things we shouldn't. But that's not always easy, is it? Not always easy. So in life, things come easy. Some things come hard. Sometimes it's the easy road, sometimes it's a tough road, and it's human nature to want the easy way out. And so the other day I was reading some articles and some things related to this lesson, and there was a quip and a quote that I came up on. It said, bad habits are like a comfortable bed. So easy to get into, but so hard to get out of. And so that's why, as human beings, we want to take the easy way out. But we find out if we stay in that comfortable, easy bed and we sleep too much and we rest too much, over time, our muscles begin to deteriorate and our mind's not functioning like it should because we're not active physically. And so over time, we become weaker than we would have been if we'd got on out of that easy bed and had some mental and physical exercise. And so it may not always be easy to do the right thing. It's not easy. So this morning, I'd like to take 15 or 20 minutes and consider with you some things that may not be easy. May not be easy. And for me, these are some things that in my life, as I look back, sometimes it has not been easy. But I've learned over time by faith and instruction and discipline that sometimes we have to do some things that's not easy. It's not always easy to do certain things. First of all, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, where we just were. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 27. It's not always easy to hear and take good advice. You ever catch yourself listening to someone that's trying to advise you on something, and the whole time your mind's busy thinking, this can't be right. I don't agree with this. What if we're sitting in the doctor's office and he's giving us advice and the whole time we're thinking, that don't sound right to me. And maybe he has advice that's based on some historical facts. Maybe he has advice that's over history it's shown to be the best thing to do. And we reject that. And so sometimes it's not easy to take good advice when our mind is set on doing something else. Like children, sometimes children may have the idea that my mother or dad told me to do this, but you know, that really looks good. All my friends are doing it and everybody's involved in it. So I just got to try that. And so the easiest thing is just give in and do it rather than listen to the good advice that their parents gave. And so good advice. God gives us good advice in His Word, and we find that it's not always easy to hear and take good advice. Look at Matthew chapter 7, beginning of verse 21. We know that verse. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And then in verse 22, he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, who practice lawlessness. And then he goes on in the verses 24 through 27. He talks about the wise man that built his house on the rock, and the foolish man that built his house on the sand. And so if we take the advice of God, we're going to build our house on the rock, the solid rock, on the Word of God, on Christ, on the foundation of faith in God and on Christ Jesus. But if we don't want to take good advice, we'll build our life on worldly things, things that are going to decay here, on things of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, because they're the things that seem to be the easiest to involve ourselves in. And so it's not always easy to hear and take good advice. Over the years, perhaps you've had a school teacher, or I had school teachers that would give me good advice. But yet sometimes I would go away and not listen to that advice. And then over time, I may realize that I should listen to her. I should listen to him. It was the same way with my parents. Sometimes they told me things that I didn't really want to hear, and sometimes I didn't obey them like I should. But over time, I learned that, you know, the advice they were giving me was for my own good. And it would have been easier to have took that advice and followed it than it would have gone the way I went and got into the trouble that I got into. And so the easy way out sometimes, folks, is not always the best way out. It's not always easy to take advice, good advice. Well, it's not always easy to see our own faults and admit them. Maybe you never had a problem with that. But Jesus talked about the fact that, you know, are we able to see who we are? Are we able to understand who we are? Now, it's probably fairly easy for me to see when it's someone else's fault. Perhaps at work or in society or in school. You may be able to look around and say, oh, look at him. He's got a... that's just not good. Or look at her. That's just not good. It's easy sometimes to see things that are in front of us that other people are doing that we think are not good. But it's harder for me to look inside my heart and my life and see how I really am. Am I a little bit stubborn, James? Maybe I'm a little bit too quick to speak sometimes. Perhaps I don't have the proper feelings I should have for others when they're going through problems. Maybe I need to understand that I need to look at my own self. And of course, the way to do that, there, and he said Matthew chapter 7, is that first of all, we need to look into our own life and take the beam out of our own eye before we can help our brother remove the speck from his eye. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. It's not always easy to see our own faults and admit them. There in the example of the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee, remember, we've read that numerous times, and he talks about the Pharisee. Jesus gives the illustration of the Pharisee there in verse 9 of Luke chapter 18. He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. There you go. Someone that don't see their own faults. I'm so goody-goody, but I see the faults of others. Now, he described these men. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Well, the Pharisee was the one that couldn't see his own faults. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. Why, I fast twice a week. I give tithes and of all that I possess. And now this publican standing over there, he, standing afar off, he would not so much as even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Which one describes me? Which one describes you? It's easy to see other people's faults and get on it and pounce on it and think on it. But it's sometimes it's not easy. It's rather difficult to take good advice and see our own faults and correct them, or to hear good advice from the Word of God, accept it, and make those things correct in our life so we can be better. Not always easy to see our own faults and then also admit them. Sometimes we may see our faults, but then we'll not be able to be willing to admit that we've been wrong, or to say that I'm sorry that I did certain things. It's not always easy to keep proper control of our thoughts and our actions. Maybe you never had a problem with that in your life, and I hope you have. But if you're a human being, you've run across this a time or two. We all have. And we will, as long as we're here on this earth, because there's temptations all around. But it's not always easy to keep proper control of our thoughts and our actions. Back in Matthew chapter 15, turn back there if you will. Matthew chapter 15, we'll look at verses 15 through 20. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. So Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. How do we keep proper control of our thoughts? Well, in James chapter 1, he gives us some good advice about how we can keep control of our thoughts and not think the wrong things. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he is approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So the advice Paul gives in Philippians chapter 4:8 is very good about helping us to understand that we can be able to keep proper control of our thoughts and our actions if we get our heart right, if we get our thinking right. Because after all, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We learn in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 3. But the proper control of our thoughts and actions starts with thinking on the right things. But it's not always easy to control our thoughts or our actions because we don't think on the right things. We think on the wrong things. And we let things around us affect us and tempt us and lead us astray. And our thoughts are led astray. So what happens is that we don't keep our thoughts and actions under control because we're influenced by other things, and it gets into our life and it hinders us from thinking on the proper things. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, Paul said, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things." So if I want to have proper control of my thoughts and my actions, I need to get my heart right and think on the things of God, things that are pure and lovely, and things that are right, and things that are just, and things that are of good report, if you want to have our heart right with God. But it's not always easy to do that because we're looking somewhere else. We're looking around us, and our heart becomes hardened, and our actions and our thoughts are not what they ought to be because we look the wrong way to control what we've done. Well, it's not always easy to follow Jesus. We studied some things about that recently in some of our classes. A couple of people have made comments about that in their invitation on Wednesday night. Not always an easy thing to follow the Lord. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, if you will, and let's read just a few verses, beginning in verse 12. "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody, or in other men's matters. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of Christ?" And so we look at verses 18 and 19 then as he concludes his thought. "Now if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as a faithful Christian," as to the faithful Creator. We need to think about following Jesus and understand that when we commit to Christ, when we believe that he's the Son of God, when we confess him, we repent of our sins, and we're baptized, where our sins are washed away. But when we rise to walk in newness of life, the temptations are still out there. The issues of life are still there. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are still there. We have to learn to control those. And as we follow Jesus, we understand that he himself learned obedience through the sufferings and the temptations that he went through. Yet he did not sin. He did not give in to temptation. And so we have a perfect example so that it is possible to follow him. And even though we can't be perfect as he was, that we have the grace of God through Jesus and his blood to get forgiveness to help us overcome the sins that we do commit. And we should study and grow and learn, 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, that we may grow thereby so that we can be stronger every day, so that we follow Jesus more diligently each day, so that we know more of God's will every day. And so, what part of living to Christ living the Christian life is it that we may be missing the boat on? It may be that we haven't committed ourselves to a complete surrender to the Lord and to His way and to His will and to His example and to His teachings. If we'll do that, we can follow Him. But if we don't, it's going to be difficult because we still are not wholly committed to Him. So it's not always easy to follow Jesus, but it is possible to do that. Well, it's not always easy to keep the faith, stay out of the rut, and avoid falling. As children of God, we may have been baptized 5 years ago or 50 years ago. But the Bible teaches that the danger of falling away or being led astray is always there. Every day that we live, no matter where we're at, the danger of falling away, falling into a rut, falling away from the truth, not doing God's will is always there. We need to be aware of that danger. In Hebrews chapter 3, let's turn back there and look at those verses. Verses 12 through 15. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning of verse 12. Take care, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of belief in departing from the living God. He was writing to Christians, brethren. And he said, you need to take heed because it's possible that you can depart from the living God. Not always easy not to depart. It's not always easy to keep the faith. We have to have our focus on heaven, our faith intact, our hope secure, our willingness to obey and discipline ourselves. The next verse, he says, verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The reason it's not always easy to keep the faith is because sin is always out there. The reason it's not always easy to keep the faith is because there's always some things happening. Or it may be people that disappoint us. Or it may be things that people do to us that disappoint us as Christians. Or it may be the pressure that we get under from someone at work or in business or in society. Because we stand for what's right and they don't believe in it, so they bring pressure on us. To keep the faith, stay out of a rut, and falling, we need to be always conscious that it's possible for me to fall away and lose my eternal home in heaven because I did not obey God. Colossians, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul wrote to Christians at Corinth and he encouraged them to look at this very thing, this very matter. How are you today, Paul says. Look at yourself. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. How do we do that? We look into the perfect law of liberty, the Word of God, the mirror of the soul, that gives us a picture of what God wants us to be, and it gives us a picture of how we really are. When we do that, and we mold our life to the Word of God, and fix ourselves according to the picture we're looking at in the Bible, we can keep the faith. We can stay out of a rut, and we can avoid falling. Notice, if you will, again, back in Matthew chapter 15. We were there earlier, but let's go back to Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14 concerning keeping the faith, not letting others lead us away, because there are people out there, religiously, and not just religious people, but people of the world, who will pull us away by their words, their actions, and their example and their teaching if we're not very careful. He says, he's talking about those that are not according to His will, not doing His word. But He says, let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. So the Hebrew writer warned that we can fall. Jesus says one reason we do fall is because we follow those that are teaching false doctrine. So it's not always easy to keep the faith. But if we get in the Word and learn the truth can set us free from ignorance, from error, from the things that are wrong, because we understand where they're at and we have the faith then to turn and make things right with God. Let's not fall into a rut. I don't know if I've ever told this story. A little example here at Beulah. I believe I have, but nonetheless, I'll share it with you again this morning. And of course, the story is told about these two frogs. Many years ago, there was two frogs out in the woods, and they were on a log road. And Everyone here is old enough to know what a log road, but anyway, a log road is built out through the woods where they take these big trucks in there to cut the timber, expand, to haul the logs out. So in that, there'll be some ruts where those log trucks have been going. Some of them are really deep. And sometimes they go through soft soil, and the ruts will get really deep, and they'll have to pull those trucks out in order to get the logs out, haul them out of the woods. But these two frogs, the story's told, were in the woods, and one of them was hopping along one day, and he came by, and here was a frog down in one of these big ruts. So he stops, and he says, "What are you doing in that rut?" He said, "I can't get out." He said, "You can't get out? Well, jump high enough." He said, "I've jumped high enough." And he looked, and he just took that bank, and he just jumped everywhere trying to get out. He was jumping. He couldn't get out. He said, well, why come can't get out? He said, "I'm stuck in this rut." So this frog hopped along, left the other one stuck in the rut. So the next day, that frog was hopping along, and here comes this other frog hopping up to him. He said, "I thought you were stuck in a rut." He said, "I was." So the log truck came through, and I had to get out. And so that's what happens to us sometimes as human beings. We think we're down and we're out, and we're just, things are just so bad, and then we realize that there is a way out. When things get so bad, we can jump high enough to get out of it. Or we make the right move to get back in the right place we need to be. Let's not get stuck in the rut, because it's not always easy to keep the faith and stay out of a rut. Well, we said all this to come to the end of the lesson this morning. That is that it's not always easy to do certain things, to take good advice, to admit we're wrong, to confess that we're wrong, to make a change in our life. It's not always easy to keep the faith and to follow Christ. It's not always easy to keep our thoughts and our actions intact. But it is possible. But it is possible by faith to obey God, follow Jesus, overcome the obstacles that come our way, and by God's grace to be saved in heaven. I want to read James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8 before we conclude the lesson this morning. James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." So it is possible. It is possible to obey God and do His will. It's not always easy to follow Jesus. It's not always easy to take good advice. It's not always easy to do a lot of things. It's not always easy to apologize to someone when we've been wrong. It's not always easy to make the best of a little when we really want a lot. It's not always easy to shoulder deserved blame when we're the one at fault. Not always easy to shoulder that and man up and say, "That's my fault." It's not always easy to recognize the silver lining. And the silver lining we're looking for is heaven. Hope the lesson encouraged you this morning, encouraged me to understand that sometimes the easy way out is not the best way out, not the best for us. And oftentimes, it's not always easy to do the right thing, but it's always the time to do the right thing. If you're here this morning and help you in any way, please come while we stand, while we're singing.